me earlier, and of course he didn't get to preach this morning, so I get the first crack at the Christmas sermons. So brace yourselves, because the entire month of December is going to be Christmas messages for the most part. I can pretty almost guarantee that. It's the one time of year we get to preach a Christmas-themed sermon. But I can tell you this, that you're probably going to hear something that's somewhat close to last year's sermon, because there's only so many different ways you can preach Christmas sermons. So if your memory goes that far back, then great for you. The rest of us, well, it'd be a new one tonight. So, amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 9 and begin with verse number 6. Very familiar portion of scripture. Probably most of us can quote it. But it's a good place to start. Isaiah chapter 9 and 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." I want to flip over to John 3:16, very familiar portion of Scripture. If you've been raised in an ACE school, you should know this one by heart. If you're saved tonight, you should also know it by heart. John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen. Let's pray this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank You to God for the opportunity, Lord, we have to be in Your house tonight. Lord, I thank You to God for the testimonies of the saints, Lord, what You're doing. Lord, the help You're giving, the protection. Lord, and the overall, Lord, just boosting us along the way. I pray to God You'll help me tonight to minister this message, Lord. You've laid on my heart. Lord, as we enter this Christmas season, Lord, and we begin to get our minds and our focus on You in a special way, I pray to God that You'll encourage us, lift us up, and challenge us tonight. We give You all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated this evening. I just want to preach on a simple thought for just a short amount of time tonight on give it away. Now, there comes a time around my household that we have what we call spring cleaning. And in that spring cleaning, generally, Sister Sarah tells me to go in and set out everything that I don't want anymore. And for us guys, generally, when our wives tell us to go clean something out, they generally mean go into the closet and throw all them t-shirts away that you don't wear anymore, but yet you're hanging on to because at some point in time, you're probably going to need it. Now, how many's like me? You have 4 t-shirts you like to wear. How many has at least 20 t-shirts in there? And generally, in my normally frustrated state, I go in there, and she's like, "Oh, does this fit?" "No, it doesn't fit." "Oh, do you wear that?" "No, I don't like that no more." And finally, I get to this point where I say, just give it away. I don't want to deal with it no more. It's just, "Nah, I don't like it. Throw it away." "Nah, I don't like it. Throw it out." And then we wade into the garage, and then it was like, "Nope. I don't need that. I ain't touched that in 6 months. Throw it in the trash. Throw it. Get rid of it. Give it away. Give it away." That's not the type of give it away I'm going to talk about tonight. I'm just telling you that right now. You see, when we give stuff away that doesn't mean anything to us anymore, is it truly given? When we donate out of our abundance and donate out of our things we don't need anymore, is it really truly given? Think about that. We're just going to talk about that for a little bit. In Isaiah chapter 9 and 6, we begin to read a prophecy that was given to Isaiah. And as he was penning the words and God was talking to him, he didn't really understand what he was writing, but he began to pen one of the most famous portions of Scripture about to come into the Messiah. And he says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given." I want to hone in on that word, given. And then in John 3:16, we have the phrase that he gave his only begotten son. Who gave? God gave. You see, the very first thing, the point of origin of giving has to go all the way back to the one who instituted giving. How many could tell me who instituted giving? God instituted giving. You see, when you go back into Genesis, we find that he created and he created and he created. And finally, he looked at it all and he said it was all good, except he needed something made in his image. And so he made man, and God gave to him, breathed into him, what? Life. You see, God gave the first thing. And from that point on, God continued to give. You see, when God created us and he created mankind, he also understood that there may be a point in time in which mankind was going to need something that mankind could not provide for himself. And so God began to put into place a master plan of sending a perfect sacrifice. And that was his son. And so we begin to read these portions of prophecy, and we begin to find that the first person that gave it away, so to speak, was God. And he gave the most important thing he had, his son. And then when his son came, what did Jesus give? Well, he gave the ultimate thing that you can possibly give, his life. You see, when Christ came to this earth and he came in, and we're celebrating this at Christmas time, but I want to tell you this, that this message really isn't a Christmas message. We're just going to preach it at Christmas time, and we're going to use a couple Christmas verses in there to call it a Christmas message. But you see, the concept of what we're going to minister on tonight is not one in which it's just relegated to the month of December, because what we're going to deal with tonight is something that is to be lived out in day-to-day life. But it seems like in the month of December, we generally, we like Christmas. As Brother Matthew had already brought out, we like Christmas, you know, and some people like it a little bit more than others. And my grandma's not here tonight, but she likes it a little bit more than I do. And not just, I mean, like a little bit more than I do. When you go to her house on December 17th, I think is what the announcement said, and you'll go in there and, I don't know, there's 30 or 50 Christmas trees and I don't know, 20 Christmas villages. And there's now some little gingerbread guys that we picked up for her on Black Friday sale. And she didn't have no gingerbread people. And now she has gingerbread people. And, you know, some people get really excited this time of year. And we get excited about the mood that Christmas puts us in. Because generally, Christmas puts us into a mood of, well, we're reflecting. You see, the pastor was reflecting tonight. And generally, throughout the month of December, you're going to spend some point in time on reflecting about past Christmases. And you're going to reflect about what God's done for you. And you're going to reflect on when Jesus came in and he saved your soul. You know, the Christmas time puts us in these moods to begin to get a little bit more thoughtful sometimes about what God wants to do in our life. But you see, when Christ came to this earth, nobody was thinking about him. You see, when Christ came to the earth, everybody was stressed out. Everybody was busy. Everybody was running. Everybody was uprooted. Nobody was in their hometowns. In fact, when Christ came to this earth, it was at the worst possible time that a baby could show up. I want you to think about that for a minute. But you see, God had perfect time. Because at this point in time, God said, it's time to give. And Jesus said, I'm ready to give. He said, well, man. Why would you send a baby to be born in such a chaotic time? Well, you see, this just wasn't a normal baby. This baby came to quell the chaos. But you see, nobody knew it at that time. Well, as Christ was born, and we know the Christmas story, and I'm going to recap it here in just a little bit, but we want to fast forward just a little bit. Because as Christ came, and we find that in the temple 12, he was confounding the teachers and the scholars of the day. And at that point in time, we find that, what was he given? Well, he was given knowledge. And they were blown away that somebody that was 12 years old could expound the scriptures to them in a way that they didn't understand. But then when he came of age and he began to launch out in his personal ministry, we begin to find that he comes to his hometown and he goes into the synagogue. And this is, as I was studying for this message, it just kind of hit home again. The very first places that Jesus ministered, in fact, in Luke chapter 4, you begin to find as he launches out into his ministry, the first places that he ministered was the local synagogues. And this is really the only time that it really talks about his ministry in the synagogues, because he didn't stay in them synagogues for very long. Because they didn't like his message. But as he began to start his earthly ministry, he started them in the local synagogues. And we find in Luke 4 and 17, it says, "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found a place where it was written." Now, can I tell you this? Jesus didn't preach from an iPad. In fact, he didn't even have the King James Version Bible. And in fact, he didn't even have a book. See, in the English language, that's our equivalency to what they had, was a book. They had scrolls. And when you went to the synagogue, what the scribes did is they transposed the Word of God for each individual synagogue, so that each synagogue could have the written Word of God that they had up to that point, which was basically the entire Old Testament. And so when you went to church and you wanted to read God's Word, you requested which scroll. And Jesus stood up and he said, "I want to read." And they said, "Well, what would you like to read?" He said, "I need the scroll from Isaiah." He didn't say, "Let's stand and turn to the book of Isaiah." No, they went and they got the scroll of Isaiah. And then it wasn't just a flipping through chapter and verse. So the scrolls don't have chapters and verses. It's just one big written letter or epistle or document or paragraph, however way you want to look at it. It's one continual. We broke it up into chapter and verses. It wasn't that way. So he stands up. He asks for the book of Isaiah. He opens it. And then the Bible says, and he found the place where it was written. This wasn't a fast process when you're, I don't know if you've ever seen any footage from the Wailing Wall, but they still have scrolls in some of the ceremonies that they do over there, and they're big, and generally they have one of those, the small boys that's in training, and he's carrying these big scrolls, and they will open them up, and when you open them up, they roll them out, and then they roll them up, and they roll them out, and then they roll them back, and that's how you find your place. This is what Jesus was doing. And he finds his place. And he reads this. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book. And he gave it back to the minister. And he sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Now, I want to pause there for just a second. This was a portion of scripture that they all knew. But apparently, it wasn't read very often. And it must have been a curious portion of scripture to read, because after he got done, nobody was looking for the next person to read. They was all looking at him who had read. And then he had something else to say. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And they had revival. I mean, they shouted, they said, "The king has come, the Messiah is here." Now, that's not exactly what happened. You see, during that day and that time, nobody was looking for the Messiah in their midst. They all was looking for the promise, but they didn't see the promise when it was right underneath their very noses. You see, many times the presence of Christ, the coming of Christ, it has been marked by the arrival of Him and His presence and His person, and people were unprepared, they were unknowing, they were unwilling, they were unbelieving, or they were just plumb too busy, and it didn't fit their schedules. You see, this is generally marks the giving that happened throughout the life of Christ. But yet we begin to find that Christ kept giving, and He kept giving, and He kept giving. Now, you know, sometimes we have a term of the gift that keeps giving. I've got a gift that keeps giving tonight. I had to hide it in these bags up here so nobody'd see it. You see, I have a brother-in-law, and not the one that's here tonight. I have another brother-in-law. You may not have known that. It's Sarah's brother. Wait till you meet Sarah's brother. Hopefully, he may be watching. Who knows? You never know. He sneaks around on Facebook, so if he's watching, then this is going to be a good one for him. If you think Sister Sarah's ornery, he's just about as ornery, if not maybe a little bit more. But see, he finds it funny that most of his kids are all getting older, and they like more older things and adult things. But we still have a young one in the house that likes young type of toys. And so he generally makes it his duty to buy Weston interesting gifts for his birthday and for Christmas. And I do believe that what I'm fixing to show was from his birthday present. And there was a whole box full of things that showed up at our house. And generally, he wants to find things that will annoy me and Sister Sarah to death. So this is what he sent. He sent this rubber chicken. It sits here and makes this noise. You know, and it's one of the probably most annoying things that you can ever hear. Especially if it's first thing in the morning and he's in there and he starts doing this. And yeah, I know it doesn't sound near as loud in here, but at home this thing is loud. Or he comes through there and you're trying to have quiet time in the evening and they're in there just sit there pushing these things, you know. This is the gift that keeps on giving. The gift that keeps on giving is marked by, well, it's not good once. It's not good twice. It's not good five times. It's not good 10 times. It's not good until it's done. And it goes on and on and on. That's a little humor to wake you up. What I come to tell you is that the life of Christ, He was the gift that just kept on giving. You see, in Luke chapter 7, we find that John the Baptist was wavering a little bit. He was in prison and he was wondering if it was indeed the Messiah. And so he sent a couple men to him and they said, John the Baptist has sent us, this is verse 20, unto thee saying, art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Now, previously we had read that he come to preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recover their sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. See, Christ is the gift that just keeps on giving. When he came, and he came as a baby, and he came into this world, he came with the purpose of giving. And as God instituted the giving, Christ continued, how do you want to say, the legacy of giving. And what I begin to find, as Christ begins to give, we begin to read in Scripture where it says, freely ye have received, freely give. And what I begin to find is that as Christ began to set the example of the gift that keeps on giving, he doesn't give to us just for us, just to keep it all. How many likes to get a gift? We always get. Everybody likes to get a gift. Everybody likes to get something. Yeah, what's the deal? He said, man, I like to get a gift. How many likes to give gifts? How many has discovered that many times you get more joy out of giving the gift than you get out of getting a gift? See, we find that as Christ came into this world and it was chaos and it was a wrong time and there was many people that were busy, there were a few people that caught sight of the gift. And they gave. You see in Luke 2 and 15 it says, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. You see, the shepherds were the first ones to hear about the gift. And you know, they could have been too busy watching the sheep. They could have said, well, there ain't no way I'm going into that crazy town. There's all kinds of strangers in that town. There's all kinds of stress in that town. In fact, the reason we're with the sheep out here is because we don't even want to be in town. We can be antisocial creatures sometimes, I understand. But yet, when they begin to hear the news, what did they do? They begin to give of their time. They left the sheep, they went to see. And when they saw, then they begin to broadcast what they had seen. So not only did they give their time, then they begin to give their testimony, and they begin to give their witness. You see, what happens is when we understand what has been given to us, it generally generates a desire within us to give something back or to give something away. We find in Matthew 2 and 11, it says, and when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Of course, this is talking about the wise men. And so, well, Brother Jason, those are nice gifts, but they were wise men, they were kings, they were rich. They gave out of their abundance because they had abundance to give. Can I point this out to you? That as you study theology and you study Bible history, it bears out that they actually didn't come to see Christ till he was about 2 years old. And that they begin to follow the star when it appeared. Now, we don't know exactly when the star appeared, but it does stand to reason that the star appeared when the birth of Jesus Christ transpired. It's a high possibility that they had traveled close to 2 years just to come see the Messiah. That's a lot of giving, church. That's resources. They put their lives on hold. They didn't travel. Traveling back in those days, you didn't just travel three people that far. They came with an entourage. They had camels. They had provisions. They had people. They had servants. They probably had all kinds of things because it was dangerous to travel by yourself in those days. They had so much committed. And when they showed up, they still had a little bit more to give. Sometimes we feel like we've committed a lot. And we feel like we've given a whole bunch. And it feels like, well, you know, I feel like I've given a lot. But yet, when they got in the presence of Christ, they found it within themselves to give just a little bit more. 2 Corinthians 9 and 6 says this, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." He said, what does that have to do with Christmas time, Brother Jason? I told you, I was just classifying this as a Christmas message. Now, what I begin to find here is that as we come into the Christmas season and we focus on the gift and we focus on the reason for the season and we focus on everything that he gave and we begin to enter a time in which we carry some memories about what God's done for us. Maybe we take a trip back down memory lane and we begin to remember when he saved us. Maybe when he called us and when he filled us with the Holy Ghost. When we think of the times where he's worked miracles in our lives. He's healed our bodies. He's turned situations around. He's made ways when there was no ways. And we begin to think about all the giving that Christ has done for us. Does it ever enter our mind that we need to give something back to him? Well, you say, well, Brother Jason, I've been paying my tithes. That's good. But can I tell you this? That's giving of necessity. Because that's necessary. Tithes are not optional. You say, well, how'd you get in on that, Brother Jason? Well, figure pastor already covered it, so I'll hammer it one more time. That's just part of being a Christian, is paying our tithes. Tithes isn't giving. That's what I've pounded into my children's head. It's what's been pounded into my head. Tithes is not giving. This bounces back to what I was talking about to begin with. When we give something that we don't necessarily need or we don't necessarily want, is it truly giving? You see, when God dealt with David, and David had to make some repentance, he went to buy a threshing floor. And as David the king went up to buy the threshing floor, the owner of the threshing floor saw David coming. And he said, "Nah, you're the king. I will gladly give it to you." And David made a statement. He said, "No, I can't give God something." And I'm paraphrasing this a little bit, but this is just what he said. He said, "I can't give God something that cost me nothing." And he paid a price. I don't know if that was a fair price. I don't know if David paid more than the asking price. I really don't know. The Bible only records what he paid for it. I don't know what the property values were. But what I do understand is that David knew that it's not truly giving unless it costs us something. Brother Titus, can you help me tonight? You pass these out to everybody. When Paul began to deal with reaping and sowing, sowing bountifully, you reap bountifully. And when it comes time to give, you become a cheerful giver. You see, God's not only interested in what you can give, but he's interested in your time. He's interested in your mind. He's interested in your family. He's interested in your finances. He's interested in any and every aspect of your life. See, what Brother Titus is handing out, and some of you are starting to get these, this is a family tradition that has been done in the Pepper household. And each year, we give a gift to Jesus. And on this piece of paper, we write something down that we're going to give to Jesus for the following year. And there's been enough of them done now that we can look back through different gifts that we've made through different years. And sometimes you see a recurring theme of gifts. Sometimes you see, well, it may have been worded a little bit differently, but the gist of what was given was the same. You see, what that tells me is that when we are given the same gift, it means we haven't really given it. Because these gifts that we give are things in which it's something we need to work on in our character, in our personal life, in our spiritual life, in our ministry, something that God is maybe dealing with us about, or something that God's calling us to, maybe a next step. Not talking about giving up coffee because you don't like coffee. I'm talking about commitment that begins to deal with things that God's been dealing and talking to you about. And see, really, it's something that we need to be doing all year, but sometimes it helps to begin to take what God has been dealing with you about, pinning it on a piece of paper, putting that piece of paper in your Bible or on your refrigerator, somewhere where you're going to see it. Maybe you should put it on your refrigerator, not necessarily in your Bible. God help me not to meddle. But somewhere where you're going to see it constantly. And it's your gift that you're going to give to Jesus. Now, you don't have to write on them right now, but I want you to take these with you tonight, because what I'm dealing with is that he has gave, and he's gave, and he has gave, and he has gave. And in fact, we heard about some instances tonight where God has recently been giving, and God has recently been touching, and God has recently been making ways. And you know, you could go a little bit further back, and there's been a lot of testimonies that has come through this church within the past year of God healing people, God beginning to create ways, taking situations, turning things around. There's been people that's been filled with the Holy Ghost. There's been people that God's dealing with and brought them in. They visited the church. I mean, there's been a lot of things that God has been doing and giving. What are you holding back on God? What's the one thing when God asked that you say, no, I can't give that? That's what I want you to put on that piece of paper. I don't want you to put something on that piece of paper that's not going to cost you something. See, Paul said, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Can I preach here for just a second? You want to know why the blessings of God are not falling all over you? How have you been sowing recently to God? If you haven't been sowing bountifully to the Spirit, when I say sowing bountifully to the Spirit, if you haven't been being obedient in everything that God has been asking you to be obedient in, that's called sowing sparingly. Which also means, don't expect to throw one kernel of corn in the field and come back next year, Brother Robert, and expect a whole field of corn. What happens if you plant one kernel of corn in the field? You're going to have one stalk of corn, if you're lucky. The probabilities of farming says you put one kernel of corn in, there's a high probability that you're not even going to get. See, the process of sowing, it requires multiple plants to grow, to pollinate each other. You see, this time of year, we get excited because we know Christ gave. But I want to tell you something. I want you to get excited about sowing in to the kingdom of God. Because what I have found is that when I begin to sow abundantly into my personal life, when I begin to step out in obedience, when I begin to step out in faith, when I begin to act in obedience upon what God is asking me to do, and I begin to sow into my spiritual life with everything that's within me. You know what, Sister Shelley? Sometimes somebody calls and they pay for my alternator in my vehicle. You know, sometimes there's a little money that shows up and makes the rent able to be paid. Sometimes there's some extra groceries that come along the way. Sometimes there's some big contracts that are able to get signed in Trailblazer Homes. Because when I begin to sow bountifully, when I begin to give us something that costs me something, God begins to look at that and He says, you know what? I instituted giving. And when I see somebody giving back to me, I begin to look and I begin to reward the person that begins to give back to me. Paul said this, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. You don't accidentally give. You give on purpose. And as I don't remember who said it this way, but somebody said it one time. They said, you give until it hurts. And then you give a little bit more. So I want to challenge you, as we're coming to the end of 2021, 2022 is coming quickly. How many is satisfied with what God has done in your life in 2021? How many could say it was honestly, it met all your expectations and you're exactly where you wanted to be at the end of 2021? See, you can't say that. You'll never be able to say that. Can I let you in on a little secret? You'll never be perfect until you walk out of this world. And every year, while we recount the blessings of God, we always find there's something that we can still give. Even the person that has been a Christian for 50 years, you said, man, they have been a Christian for 50 years. How could there be anything left to give? Surely they've covered everything that there is to give in 50 years. But what you're going to find, you haven't. There's still something that you can give. You see, Sister Lindsay, as you're coming back to the piano, there's a song that the Gaither Vocal Band sings. And it goes something like this. It says, if you want more happy than your heart can hold, if you want to stand tall when the truth is told, you'll take whatever you have and you'll give it away. It's a nice little catchy song and I really like it. But it has really hit home with me because I have found and I have discovered that when I want to grow in God and when I want something more for me that God has and when I want to progress in my Christian walk, when I want to progress in my family and I want to progress in my business, the very first thing I have to begin to look at is what can I give? What can I give away? Say, well, Brother Jason, that sure seems like the opposite way of getting where you need to go. Well, you know, many would look at the birth of Jesus Christ and scoffers would say, oh, why that way? There were so many other ways that Christ could have came that didn't involve being born in a manger, in a stable, having shepherds come to see you. You know, legend has it, we have the story of the little drummer boy, the funny little meme running around that says, you know, a little kid showed up, hey, can I give you a drum solo? That's the last thing Mary wanted. But there were so many other ways for the king to come. But he humbled himself so that he could give in a way that we could understand. See, we understand starting at the bottom. We understand ground zero. Baby steps. Walking. Vocabulary. Learning. Turn 16. License. Vehicle. Graduation 18. Maybe 20, 21, 25, 30, 40, who knows? You get married, start a family. We see progression like that. You see, when Christ gave, he came to give in a way that we understand. You see, that's how it is when you give back to God. You've got to give in a way that he understands. You see, when Cain and Abel brought their gifts to the altar, there was a way that God understood giving. And Abel gave an offering that God understood. Cain gave an offering that God didn't understand. You see, not every form of giving that you do is going to be honorable to God. You say, well, I've given this and I've given that. But have you given what God has asked you to give? You see, that's my gift of 2021. You say, why didn't you put 2022 on it? Well, you're making the commitment in 2021. And when you get to the end of 2022, you're going to look back on this list and you're going to see, was I able to give this gift to God in 2022? So as you're standing to your feet across this building, I want to challenge you tonight. Think of a gift. Write it down. You can write it down before you leave the building tonight. You can write it down when you get home. You could write it down anytime between now and Christmas. But I want you to write it at least by Christmas Day. And I want you to put that somewhere where you're going to remember it. And next year, Lord willing, I'll preach another message about giving. And we'll see how well we did. Amen. Let's gather in these altars tonight. Let's have us a time of prayers. We reflect. We remember. We get excited about what Christ has done for us. We get excited about Christmas season. I want us to get excited about giving something to him. Something that is going to cost me something. It's going to take something from me and give it to him. I'm not going to give out of my abundance. I'm not going to give out of just everything that I have or something that's not important to me. But I'm going to give something that is going to cost me sometimes everything. But that is the gift that God's going to bless in your life.
This is where I lay it down. Every question, every doubt. This is